And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa live at the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right next to Fisherman's Landing overlooking the beautiful San Diego sport fishing fleet here. Bill Varney, surf fishing expert, is joining us from Breckenridge, Colorado. What a place for a surf fishing expert, right? But he's a trout expert too. But anyway,
how did that ever happen?
Talking fishing and speaking of fishing, I wanted to tell you about next week's show, which I want to throw out a big kudo to Bill Varney. But those email blasts you get every other week are created and done by Bill Varney. Thank you, Bill, for doing such a fantastic job with those. We sure appreciate it. And when we send up the blast coming up this week, you're going to be blown away at next weekend's lineup here on Let's Talk Hookup. Next Saturday, we have Michael Folks from Inside Sport Fishing. He's going to be talking about that new project he's got going on.
Yeah, the history of sport
the
fishing.
The history of sport that's fishing, which cool. is amazing. So that's next Saturday. And then next Sunday, finally, by popular demand, we got him back, Jack Webster.
All right.
Commercial albacore fishing. But Jack's on to a new venture now.
Yeah.
So that's what he's going to talk about next Sunday. So albacore and more from Jack Webster next Sunday and, of course, Saturday, Michael Folks. So you'll have a lot to write about this week, Bill.
Wow, those are superstars. Yeah, I can't wait for those shows.
Yeah, they're good.
I love Webster. I love his stories. And of course, Michael Folks, nobody's got more of a background in fishing and the history of fishing than he does. So such a great project for him.
It's
going to be good stuff. So in the meantime, we're giving away this amazing prize. And let's let Bill explain the prize again. The actual prize that we're giving away is from surffishtackle.com. Tell us about it, Bill.
Exactly. We've got a four-piece travel surf fishing rod. Breaks down to about 27 inches, weighs about 5 ounces. Very, very light, which is what you're always looking for in a surf rod. And certainly really even a trout rod, something that's very light where you can hold it and you're going to walk around with it. And then my surf fishing kit, which has got my book in it, it's got my business card in there. So any questions you have after reading the book or you're down on the beach, you can give me a call. I get calls from people all the time as, hey, I'm down on the beach. What am I looking for? And I let them know because I'm glad to put down whatever I'm working on to talk about fishing, of course.
Yes,
but in addition, it's got all the terminal tackle that you need. It's got quarter ounce, half ounce, 3/4 ounce sliding sinkers, black swivels, because we don't use chrome or zinc plated swivels. We want something that looks natural and sits down in the sand. It's got leader material. It's got two types of hooks. It's got mosquito style hooks, which are very thin wire and very sharp. And it's also got sproat hooks, SPROAT. And sproat hooks are the hooks we use for worms and for ghost shrimp. And the reason we use sproat hooks is they look exactly like a bait holder. The only difference between them and a bait holder hook, which is probably the most common surf hook over the years, is that a bait holder hook, the tip of the hook, the eye and the tip are offset from one another. So there's a slight turn in the shank. And whenever there is a turn in the shank on a hook, and it's not a perfect J shape in the surf, it will always spin under the water. So you never want a hook where the tip and the eye are offset from one another. You want a perfectly J-shaped hook. So several colors of beads, every single thing you need to fish, but your reel, your line, of course, and your license, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And all that's – so you have this surffish kit available at surffishtackle.com. If somebody just wants to – what do I need? You have this in a package, right?
Exactly. And this is really great for somebody who's certainly just starting out and then somebody who's somewhat into it who needs some equipment and certainly needs the book. But everything is in that packet. It's really easy. It comes in one box, and they're ready to just open it up, put things together, read the book, and get out there and have some fun.
And the book is awesome, too. Great. The book is very descriptive. You did a great job with that. So that's
lots of pictures.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, I heard from Pam and Phil Benzeman taking a little time off of their work with Rancho Llanero, and they're still Pam's still answering the phones for Rancho Llanero, and we didn't hear from John today, but Pam and Phil are listening, and they mentioned have Bill talk about surf fishing at Rancho Llanero.
Absolutely. I love fishing down there along the East Cape, really all of the Baja, whether it's on the west side and I'm in the Pacific with my buddy Wes over there fishing or over at Rancho Llanero. One thing that's so great about Rancho Llanero and the East Cape is first of all, there's quite a few sand crabs there.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably some Mexican nationals who know about them, but everybody else over the years that I first went down there in the 80s, about 1988, that I've shown them to have been surprised. So first of all, there's several different methods of fishing the East Cape. You can fish just offshore from the beach for rooster fish, jack. I've caught a 25-pound yellowfin tuna from the lighthouse point before from the beach. You can fish those type of fish. You can use something like a crocodile or Rapala. I'll use a bobber and a feather sometimes, different baits like that. And then you have a whole nother subset of fishing, which is the reef fishing, which is way inside, and it's phenomenal there. And I like to use those sand crabs. Those work well. At Rancho Llanero, you can go over to the cleaning station and you can pick up pieces of fish that are available from there and use chunks of those from the surf. You could bring some squid down with you. They have some there most of the time also that you can ask the day before. They'll be able to supply it to you the next morning. All of those different baits work really well over the reefs. But the technique is, how do you fish a reef? And I learned a lot by fishing in Hawaii when it came to fishing reefs. My problem with fishing reefs, especially volcanic reefs and the reefs that we see occur in places like Hawaii and Fiji and on the East Cape, is that if your tackle gets anywhere near it, it's going to immediately be hung up in the rocks.
Yeah.
So I tried to figure out what would be the best technique, and I was over in Hawaii fishing, and I got to talking to some locals over there, and they taught me that if I use a bobber, so I what I do is I try to figure out about roughly how deep I want my bait to be, and then I'll use a large size clear bobber, those bobbers that you can fill full of water. I'll fill that bobber about halfway full of water. I'll put a leader. I usually will use 12-pound fluorocarbon leader with a number one size owner mosquito hook on the end of it. My leader will be about the length of my rod, so I'll have about a 7 or 8 foot length of leader. I'll put a bait on there. I'll cast that out. I'll try to normally, right in front of Rancho Llanero, right in front of the bar where everybody can watch me in the evening, I'll normally cast right past the reef, and I'll slowly reel over the reef or let the wind push my bobber over it, and because it suspends my bait just above the reef, it makes it available to all of the different fish that are down there, cabrilla, every kind of fish you could think of that's on the reef. And once I see that bobber lightly go underwater, and of course I'm usually tight to the bobber, I reel down and lift up my rod and fight those fish to the beach. So Rancho Llanero, that whole area now that the harbor is there, which has become a great area for aggregating bait, all along there is fantastic reef fishing and slight offshore fishing from the beach.
Fantastic. Well, that's good information. And time to get down to Rancho Llanero,
no
hopefully soon. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully we'll get down
sure
there
is.
For our Let's Talk Hookup tournament in early June.
I'm
We're
sure
still
we
optimistic.
Will. Yeah, I think so.
That's going to happen for sure. Well, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines, Rick.
Yeah, everybody's really excited to talk to Bill. How about this time we talk to Mike? Mike's calling us from San Carlos this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. This is Mike, your expert novice. But for surf fishing, can you use fly fishing equipment? And also I have a comment on how I'm fishing every day in San Diego.
Regarding fly fishing equipment, you can use fly fishing equipment in the surf. The reason that I rarely, over the last 60 years of being down there, the reason that I rarely see fly fishermen in the surf is a couple of things. One is the onshore wind makes it very, very difficult to cast into the wind with fly fishing. It's really a calm wind type of fishing style. And the other thing, and really bigger, is the back cast. there's such a long back cast, and in particular at the beach where you want to make as long of a fly cast as possible, that you really have to be careful, not so much today, but on a regular day at the beach when you have other beachgoers, you have a really long back cast. And that piece of steel with a hook in it is going, you know, 80 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour. You wouldn't want somebody to be hung up on that. So I really rarely see fly fishermen down there fishing the fly. But I must say the ones that I've seen over the years, there's been some phenomenal fly fishermen down there, especially in the Newport, Huntington Beach area.
When I used to live in Carlsbad, I used to fish South Carlsbad State Beach a lot with the fly. And you need a stripping basket because you don't want the line wrapping around mm-hmm. your feet and such like that. But I'll tell you, during the Corbina season, Corbina love the fly.
I'll bet.
And I used to catch a lot of Corbina in that beach.
It seems like a good way to present, you know, a small bait like that to
yeah.
them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So it can be very, very effective in the surf. You just have to have the proper technique and the proper equipment to make sure that you do it right.
And if you're, you know, like you say, if you're local down there, you get the timing down, like, you know, sneak
yeah.
down in the
when
morning. Yeah, sneak down in the morning for an hour, sneak yeah. down in the evening for an hour when
right,
the crowd's
exactly.
out there, like Bill's
yeah,
mentioned.
Right down there. I used to go down right before sunset.
And I'll bet. That's
great
cool.
way to watch the sunset.
Right? Yeah, that's cool.
Catching Corbina on the fly. Hey, thanks. Try it out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. And I know there's several, Bill, places that you can get information on fishing the surf on the fly, right?
You can. A really good place is flyfishthesurf.com. And that's a fantastic place. There's a couple of different, if you do look on the internet, flyfish in the surf, there's actually a couple of different guides that will teach you and take you to places where you can fly fish, and I know of them in Ventura and Santa Barbara County. So it's a great sport, and you get a calm morning and not many people. Fantastic place to fly fish on the beach. Lots of open space.
Good call.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go back and jump in those phones.
You got it, buddy. How about Roy in San Diego up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Good morning, Roy.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Great, buddy.
Great.
All right, good. Bill, first off, I like your... I saw a quick, I think you had a YouTube video on how to hook the sand crab. It really helped out. No matter how much you talk about it, seeing it is so much easier to do it and stuff. And
thank you.
Some of the, you're welcome. Thank you, actually. And I've seen some of the perch they catch up north. They seem to be a lot bigger than the ones we catch down here. Is there a way we can maybe target them, or do they not exist down here? They just maybe breed up there or something?
No, you know, well, one of the reasons you'll normally find maybe bigger perch up north, let's say Morro Bay, you know, Central California area, before they turn into redtail surf perch in Northern California, is because the water's cooler, and they're relatively fast growers. That perch don't grow super fast, but they grow to their mature size fairly quickly. And then as we get farther down here into the south, we seem to find a lot more smaller perch. But those are normally found in areas that are not adjacent to rock structure. You're going to find your largest perch, and there are some really big ones in anywhere from the Mexican border north. You don't have to go up to Morro Bay to find the big perch, but they're all hunkered down in the rocks, and they got big by being smart. They don't just eat anything that they see floating along, so you really have to do your best to trick those big fish. This time of year, the big females are coming in to spawn. A lot of times you'll catch these really, you know, 2-3 pounders that are just ready to or will begin to pump out their babies right there on the beach, and you want to, unless you're going to keep them, carefully get them back into the water as quickly as possible so they can spawn and go through their natural cycle. So normally in the spring, this time of year right now, all the way through May and then into the fall, so we're looking at October, November, you're going to find your biggest surf perch, and you'll find some right in the middle of the winter who are out not mating and spawning, but actually looking for forage and for food. So they're all along the coast. It's just if I was to target them here in Southern California and down in San Diego, I would always fish near rock structure where sand meets rocks, where you have jetties like at Ponto, Oceanside, of course, Carlsbad, all of those areas, because those big fish, they're going to back themselves into the rocks, and they're going to wait for a bait that would naturally come off those rocks, like a sidewinder crab, maybe a sand crab, a mussel, to come off those rocks and be food for them, and they're not going to come out more than, 6 inches from those rocks before they back right back into them again.
Good information.
This is great, Bill. Yeah, I really like it.
Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. There's the species of perch that they catch in Northern California, the big perch, I believe a different species than what we catch down here, right?
Yes, those are red-tailed surf perch. And the line of delineation is about San Francisco, roughly, although you could maybe catch a few of the red tail below that. But then when you go north of there, all the way up into Oregon, but certainly Crescent City, Samoa, which is a great beach up there, along that whole zone up there has fantastic red tail surf perch fishing. These fish probably, I don't know what the record is. I do know by speaking to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, because I've done some work with them, about some netting that they've done up in that area. They did pull in one in their net that was 11 pounds.
That's
the biggest perch you could ever imagine. It looked like a little opa, he said.
Wow, cool.
But those perch, you know, they mature around 3, 4, 5 pounds, and there are so many of them up there, and that's the one place where you really don't have to fish live bait or anything, just grubs on that Carolina rig, and it's just one red-tail surf perch after another.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, that I've heard that fish. I've never caught one, but I've heard that fishing is quite something. And then the other thing about surf perch, and you mentioned it, is their live birth. So let's say, and I've had it happen before, I catch a surf perch, and they start giving birth, probably from the stress of being caught right there. If that's the case, what do you do?
The best thing to do is if you can gently put the fish back in the water as quickly as possible, and then pick up those fry. When perch have their babies, when you bring the perch out of the water and they're pregnant and they begin to have the babies, they were very close to having those babies born. And you'll see the fish are completely mature when they're born. So as long as you pick them up carefully and get them all back into the water, they have a chance of surviving. You have got to imagine, you know, that these perch, they'll have about 15 2-inch perch when they have their babies. And you've got to imagine, when you think of all the literally billions of barred surf perch along the coast, how many babies that they must have, and how many of those must be eaten by corbina and spot fin and other fish on the inside. It's phenomenal. But just get them back in the water as quickly as you can and then move on.
There you go. All right. And try and release those females that are giving birth, for sure, if you...
Exactly. Be as gentle as you can.
For sure. All right, let's find out what's biting out there,
Ricky. You got it, man. We got the man standing by, our fishdope.com reporter, Captain Dave Hands, and he's your saltwater guide today. That Catch Report, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, but now with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, their spices, the rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burgers. And now you can order online and have it shipped right to your door. It's a special treat during these trying times. They have a super special on some of their smoked fish, jerky, smoked cheese, and spices. We heard from them a while ago that they're honoring all of the Fred Hall Show specials through the end of the month. So we really appreciate Fish Pros for hooking us up. You can get them at their Liberty Station location or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And let's talk to the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. Bill, thanks for all the tips on fishing in the surf down here in Cabo San Lucas. It was helping a lot until they closed the beaches. They decided they're California.
You're very welcome. Have you hooked up with Wes yet?
No, I have not. He was out of town when I went by, when I called. So as soon as this all calms down, we'll get together, I'm sure.
But can't wait.
Guys, there's been some gnarly weather all week, so there wasn't a lot of coverage, but I know four of my clients and John Brezza from Akuma all went out fishing yesterday out of Dana Point, because Dana Point Harbor's open and the bait dock's open. So there was a little bit of coverage yesterday out of Dana Point, but the weather still was not perfect. Southeast wind, uphill current, but they were able to put together a little bit of fish. I know John caught a couple nice calico bass and a handful of rockfish. A couple of my other clients did fairly well on the rockfish in horrible conditions, but hey, that's the only harbor I know of that you can get bait and go fishing out of. I don't know if there's stuff in LA, no one's talking about it. Let us know, leave a report on my website or leave a report on Fish Dope. Let us know what you're doing. We all are jonesing to go fishing, so if you guys go out and catch something, let us know. We all want to know what's going on. I'm doing the best I can to give you reports, but I only got four guys that went out yesterday.
Very limited coverage, but thanks for that. And looks like a better week of weather here. Some, you know, here and there some issues, but certainly we should get hopefully some coverage from those areas where the harbors are open and if people are able to get out. And we're hopeful that they're going to start open other harbors here in the near future for sure. Certainly as things start to get a little better. But, you know, fishdope.com, Danny's been on it and giving you the best information on, you know, Everingham Brothers and other bait companies that are, whether they're open or closed or, you know, what the operations hours and such like that, keeping you abreast of what they hear about what's going on the fish. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, of course, Dave, your entertaining stuff. I got to watch your Facebook 3 o'clock story on Friday, and I must say it's as much as you're entertaining, it's fun to watch the comments from all the people that participate there, too.
Yes, thank you, Pete, Rick. If you haven't watched it, or Bill, every day at 3 o'clock to get through this menagerie of this virus, I am doing story time every day at 3 o'clock. And if you have ever been to one of the seminars, you know they're kind of entertaining. And then to put these stories together, I'm having 1,000 to 1,200 people watch it every day. It's pretty amazing, and it's very entertaining. It gives you something to look forward to at 3 o'clock every day. And now I started a seminar every day at noon. I do a 15-minute mini seminar for you guys. So there's two things to watch every day on my Facebook. Go to Dave Hansen and check it out. And yoursaltwaterguide.com. We're still making videos, still posting stuff, Pete, trying to do the best we can in this trying times. And good luck, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks,
yeah,
Dave.
For sure. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that very much. Keep up the good work and keep the entertainment coming. We need it.
Exactly. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls. More great information with Bill. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Cedros Island. You've heard of it. Your buddies have gone, but you don't know if it's for you. Yeah, it sounds cool. Fishing from pongas and hanging out with a bunch of people at a lodge. But you like your own space. You enjoy some soul time. You want to be part of the community and enjoy the people while you're on your trip. And you want an owner-guided experience so you can explore the whole fishery and all it has to offer. This is Jeff from Cedros Kayak Fishing. I'll greet you when you arrive at Cedros, host you the entire time of your stay, and join you daily for epic fishing experiences the way I fish Cedros, the surrounding islands, and the Baja Coast. Myself and my crew will immerse you in the Cedros Island culture and community, so you can experience life on Cedros the way we live it. If you're looking for a more personal style trip with a smaller group and a laid-back atmosphere, Cedros Kayak Fishing is your spot. Give me a call at 760-412-2507 or visit our website, cedroskayakfishing.com. Let's get you down to Cedros.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
Okay, we're here at beautiful Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska, with Mark Powers, owner and operator of the lodge, and Chris Martino, who's running the new kayak program here at Whalers Cove Lodge. Mark, tell us about this new kayak program.
Kayaking in Alaska was just a natural progression for us to move to. got the conventional saltwater charter fleet. We've got amazing freshwater systems and eco tours. Kayak fishing has been something we've been watching for years. We've aligned with Hobie together a pretty amazing fleet.
Well, we've got tons of options. We've got a couple locations around the inshore area where we have kayaks staged. We've also got inflatables up in some of our freshwater systems. So we've got an opportunity to fish the lingcod, the halibut, all the five Pacific salmon species, you know, Dolly Varden and cutthroat trout.
There's a dedicated page just for the kayak program on the website, whalerscovelodge.com.
I've experienced that freshwater fishing here as well as the saltwater fishing, and I can imagine fishing from a kayak has got to be just incredible.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea-Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking surf fishing. I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
It's been a great show. So much cool information.
Yeah, Bill Varney, surf fishing expert, and joining us on the phone. And phones are packed. Let's jump into it. They're anxious to talk to Bill.
They really are. How about next up we talk to Matt? He's calling from Newport Beach this morning. What's up, Matt? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
So, Bill, if I wanted to exclusively target halibut at Crystal Cove, what would be my game plan?
Well, the first thing is, you know, when you think about Crystal Cove, because of the way it is situated, kind of a western, south and a western situation, and it makes a turn on the beach there, it has a tendency to get a lot of kelp and eelgrass and such in the surf. So that's one thing you're going to have to look out from there. There's days where it's clear there, the water's clear, and then there's days there at Crystal Cove where it's not. The places that I would fish in that Morrow area there would be where the ramp comes down from the parking lot. I can't remember the name of the parking lot there, but the parking lot to the north or the west there, that would be the very northern part. And then to the very south there is a giant cliff that goes up, and of course that's the MLPA begins there. On each one of those ends where you find rock adjacent to sand, right on that edge is where I'm going to fish. And most likely at Crystal Cove, if I'm fishing for halibut. Now, remember, halibut are very lazy critters. They don't want to move out of the sand. They spend most of their day burying themselves in the sand. And so they feed predominantly at peak low tide and peak high tide. So if I was fishing Crystal Cove, most likely I'd find areas where I can fish adjacent to rock structure at low tide coming to high tide, where most of that kelp and eelgrass is up on the beach and the water's clearer. But that's what I do certainly at Crystal Cove. And the state rangers there, they're all divers and surfers and fishermen. And although you cannot take any bait from the sand there or shells or mussel from the rock, you can bring in your own lures or your own sand crab if you needed to and fish there with that.
And Crystal Cove is open right now, you said.
And Crystal Cove is as a state park. Exactly. The parking lot is closed, but if you have access to the sand, you can walk on the sand and be on the beach there.
So what you're saying is because it's a state park, you can't pick sand crabs from there?
That park in particular, so if we go way back to before the MLPA and all the closures, when they originally were talking about closing down all of these areas of the beach, and Crystal Cove was one of them, the rangers at that cove and the interpretive specialist, Winter Bonin, came forward and said, you know, this has been a traditionally fishy area. We are all anglers. Is there a part of this you can leave open? So they said, yes, we'll leave this Morrow area open, but the stipulation is there's no taking of shells or sand crabs or anything from the sand or the rocks or the beach. But as far as fishing or keeping fish, yes, you can, and diving, you can do all of those things.
Interesting rule. Yeah, yeah, that's a really odd regulation, but yeah, whatever, right? As long as you can have access to it. Yeah.
It's such it's a hybrid regulation, and what's so odd about it is, you know, I'll carry in 50 sand crabs. How do they know that I've not gotten the crabs there? And the thing is, and I don't think it has anything to do with them not allowing them to take crabs, there are literally billions of crabs there. There's so many crabs there in the summer sometimes that it's almost hard to stand on the sand in bare feet because it's so uncomfortable.
Wow.
No kidding.
That's amazing. Cool. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. Hey, let's jump right back into the phones. They're packed up. Talk to Rich. He's calling us from Bradley this morning. Hi, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning and happy Easter. And thank you for sharing your Easter morning with us, Bill.
Thank you.
One of the things about surf fishing is typically it can be quite a hike back and forth from the car to the fishing zones. So someone with as much fishing experience in the surf as Bill has probably developed some systems for managing your tackle, your cell phone, your wallet, and the gear. So, and it sounds like earlier from what you're saying, I need to have a rig for halibut and another rig for surf perch. So while I'm out there in the water, how do I take care of all of that stuff and keep it handy?
You know, that's a really good question. I personally would never take my cell phone near the ocean. I mean, I'm on a boat or something, but I don't take it with me in my bag when I'm down on the sand, because I'm not planning on making any calls, and if somebody has something important to say, they're going to leave me a message. But as far as all of my other equipment, my camera, my terminal tackle, the first thing I do with my terminal tackle is I narrow it down to the few things that I'm going to need. You know, how many times have we gone out overnight or 2-day or 3-day tuna fishing, and we could have just had hooks in our top pocket, and that's all we used the entire time, although I brought my 50-pound wood tackle box with all the tackle that I've owned and my dad has owned. So that's the thing about surf fishing. You want to narrow it down to the few hooks that you need, the few swivels that you need, the few beads that you need, everything that you need to make the Carolina rig, and just carry those things along with your hemostats to be able to get the hook out of the fish and your license. And then the other thing is your camera. And when it comes to your camera, some people want to use a phone, which is fine. I use just a regular old camera, digital camera. I always, the day before I go fishing, take off my lens cap, clean my lens carefully to make sure it's completely clean, check my batteries, and make sure my camera is working perfectly before I go to the beach. Because I can't tell you how many times I've learned the lesson of turning on my camera on a big fish to take a picture and the batteries aren't working. So
yeah,
being prepared the day before is really important to be successful on the beach.
Indeed. And one of those cameras that's resistant or waterproof, a little point-and-shoot like I have, like an Olympus makes one, Panasonic makes one.
Mm-hmm.
Those are perfect for surf fishing, right?
They are absolutely perfect. I've gone through so many cameras over the years for the same basic reason as with a spinning reel, a little tiny water or grain of sand, and it's over with.
Yep, for sure.
You know, you can still buy a camera.
Yeah.
They still make cameras that aren't on your phone?
Oh, yeah. 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 Hey, thanks a lot. And a lot of the phones are waterproof now, too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like
mm-hmm.
a lot of the iPhones
right.
and the Android phone that's Samsung that's waterproof mm-hmm. or water resistant. I don't think I'd drop it in the water, but they say you can.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't want to prove it.
Yeah, for sure. And, hey, thanks a lot for
Pete,
the phone.
If I...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just say, Pete, if I could just say for just a real quick second about the camera and about cameras. Over the years, over the last 20-plus years, I've taken a picture of not every fish I've caught, but many of the fish that I've caught, which has recorded the date, basically the conditions, the bait I've used, where I was, what type of fish I caught, so on and so forth. So as time went on, I figured out that became my historical, just like when we were talking about Mark Wish, and Mark had his notes that he had written years before and could go back and refer to those notes. That's exactly the same thing you can do with your photography. You could go and say, you know, May's coming up. I wonder what I was catching last year, where I was fishing, what I was using for bait, and what the conditions were. So I go back into last year's May's photographs and I go through those, and I can really, in a chronological order, figure out what was biting when and what's the best bait to use and what are the best conditions for
it. Good. Yeah, you know, that dissertation Mark Wish did yesterday about the sea bass and looking back in his records,
cool.
It shows you how valuable those old records are, and that was amazing information that Mark put out yesterday, and certainly something that can help your age your fishing for in the surf as well as offshore. So good idea there, Bill. Thanks a lot for that. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it, man. Mark and Santee is up next on Let's Talk Hook. Oh, Mark, appreciate you hanging in with us.
Hey, how are you doing? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Mark.
Bill. The Breckenridge. My daughter lives up in Breckenridge, a really nice place.
Oh my gosh.
I have a question for you. she loves it. She's been living up there for about 5 years.
Good
so
for
I
her.
Got a question though. Yeah. I got a question. You answer a lot of my questions, but the hooks, what type of hook do you, I know you choose a hook for the bait you're using, but do you choose a hook for the fish that you want to catch?
The hooks in surf fishing are probably one of the most important things. And I have so many people, you know, send me emails or call me and say, you know, Bill, I get all kinds of bites, but I'm not getting any fish. What am I doing wrong? And it's all about the hook. Now think about surf fishing. You're not like on a pier or a boat where you're over the fish and your line is perpendicular to the fish. So if I'm tuna fishing and I get a bite, most likely my line is perpendicular to that tuna, and I set the hook regardless of how thick my hook is, or in most cases how sharp it is, it's going to go straight into the top of that fish's mouth. In the surf, you're casting straight out in front of you. It's almost like flying a kite, where you have that rake in your line and it goes to the kite. And the thing about surf fishing is, if I was to get a bite and I was to go to set the hook, all the fish has to do is open up its mouth and the hook will come flying right out of its mouth, because I'm not perpendicular to the fish. So the most important thing in surf fishing probably is your hooks. And what makes a good hook in the surf is a hook that is very sharp and very thin wire. I use different hooks based on what type of baits I'm using. So if I have a smaller bait, like I'm using a round shape of a bait like a sand crab, I'm going to use a thin wire hook like a Gamagatsu split shot drop shot hook, split shot slash drop shot, in a 1, a 2, or a 4, a very thin wire, a super sharp hook. All you'll have to do is, when you have a bite, is reel down and lift your rod up, and you'll have the fish. When it comes to a longer bait, like I'm going to use a ghost shrimp or a worm of any kind, lug worm or a blood worm, I'm going to use a sprout hook, which gives me a long shank hook, which is easier to get the bait up on the hook. And then, of course, remember, both of those hooks, whether it's the Gamagatsu, another one would be the Owner mosquito hook, both of those are perfectly J-shaped hooks, just like the sprout hook. So when my bait goes on there, it's perfectly flat and it's not going to spin.
All right, good info. Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call, Mark. Appreciate that very much. You know, one of our good friends and listeners, Jack Nielsen.
Sure.
Jackurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jackurate. listens every show. Thanks, Jack, for always the support you give us on Let's Talk Hook Up here. He mentioned, you know, last week we got into a conversation about left-handed reels.
Right.
And he wanted to make the point, and I didn't get it until after the show, that Accurate makes left-handed reels in all their models. So if you want a left-handed reel, because they manufacture everything right here, they can make it for you.
There you go.
So if you're a left-hand guy that want a left-handed reel, conventional reel, check out the Accurate.
Especially, you know, we were talking about big game, that there weren't a lot of options, but they are, you know, those guys are purveyors of big game tackle, so that's a really good call.
Yeah, also heard from our good buddy Dan Walsh, and he said that right now the west shore of Carlsbad Lagoon is open for fishing.
Okay.
So the west shore, he says, you got to walk a long ways because you can't park. But you have to park and then walk in. But the west shore of the Carlsbad Lagoon, kind of in that power plant area, is open for
fishing.
But
what a good way to get
because it's across from the beach.
Yeah, but what a good way to get your exercise and your fishing fix in.
Yeah. All right,
that's
great. Thanks to Dan for that information.
Good
for
info,
sure.
Man. Yeah. All right, well, the phones are packed up. Everybody's still excited to talk to Bill. How about Don from Woodland Hills up next on Let's Talk Hook Up? Good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning and happy Easter to all my fishing friends out there in Let's Talk Hook Up world.
Same back
bud.
To you.
Hey, Bill, always a pleasure speaking to you and listening to you at your seminars. I want to take off on the halibut discussion a little bit more. One, what kind of lures would you recommend using for targeting halibut? And then two, do you need a net when you want to land them, especially, you know, you might have a borderline fish as far as legal size goes?
Good questions, Don. Thank you. Well, lure-wise, you know, you've got a wide range of lures to use, but certainly the most successful lures for fishing halibut in the surf in the recent years, and then all the way back to the 20s and 30s when my dad was fishing. If you went back, you'd be looking at crocodiles, and I'd probably be fishing a 3/4 ounce crocodile. One of the very best colors on crocodile is all chrome or chrome with a red stripe. Those seem to be probably the most effective two in the surf. Another one would be a 1/2 ounce or 3/4 ounce Castmaster, either in silver or gold. Those work very, very well, and certainly both of those lures. You get very long casts with those, which allows you, it's not particularly important to have a long cast from the standpoint of that you're casting outside the surf line. The importance of a long cast in surf is having the ability to cover a large amount of surface area. So normally I'm not going to cast particularly straight out. I might cast at an angle or, like I said, along the edge of a rock jetty or a harbor entrance. And then of recently, if you went back to the 50s probably and then making its way into the 60s, were Rapalas or Rapalas that we would use in the surf. Over the last few years, Rapalas come out with the X-Rap, and you want to look for the size 12. That's the matching size in the surf. It's about a 5-inch suspension bait. That's a great one in the surf. And then the last one would be the Lucky Craft Flash Minnow 110. Both of those lures, the Rapala and the Lucky Craft, are suspension baits. And what that means is that when you're fishing those baits and you retrieve them toward shore, they're weighted. So they make their way toward the bottom, and they'll usually be anywhere between, go down between 2 and maybe 3 or 4 meters at the most, depending on how quickly you're retrieving them. Those lures are made to not only go down to those depths, but once you stop reeling, they stay suspended there rather than floating to the surface. And with a rattle in them, they have a tendency to rattle back and forth and attract fish. Now, the biggest error that I've seen in people fishing Lucky Crafts and Rapalas or Rapalas is how they fish them. When you cast out and you retrieve your line toward shore, your bait is not suspended in the position or the depth, I should say, of where halibut are until it's about halfway in, because it takes that time, that inertia of your line, to pull it down toward the bottom. So the correct technique is cast out as far as you can, reel up all of your slack line, and pull your rod quickly to the side, just like you're snagging, that snagging motion, and that will drag your lure down to the correct depth, and then reel it slowly toward shore. It's also really important on these lures, the Lucky Craft and the Rapala, is to keep your eyes, if you can, on the lure on the first or second cast, and figure out what speed you should be retrieving it at. As the water becomes shallower and you get closer to shore, the nose of that lure is going to hit itself into the sand. And if it's doing that, bouncing back and forth, that's completely unnatural. And there's not a single halibut that's going to hit that. You want it to stay at least 1 inch or 2 inches above the sand on its way in. Plus, it abrases the knot. So keep your eye on it as it's coming in. Get a feel for the speed. So when you start over again, cast out, reel up your slack, pull it hard to the side, then slowly retrieve it toward shore.
All good info.
Yeah, totally.
Again, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that very much.
Sam in Irvine is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Bill. It's a great, great show. You know, I never fished out of Lucky Craft or anything like that. You just really covered a lot of what I was going to ask you about fishing Lucky Craft or Apollo. But so I never fished it down at Crystal Cove. I'm afraid of losing them. What beaches around Orange County would you fish the Lucky Craft and the Rapala?
You know, that's a great question. And once again, you know, it always comes back to conditions. And so people will say, like, hey, Bill, you know, give me some good spots on a beach to go fishing. What's a good beach to go to? And I say, well, from Seattle all the way to Cabo San Lucas, they're all good. But the thing is, you're always looking for conditions. So let's say, for example, I'm halibut fishing. I'm going to halibut fish in Orange County at a peak low tide period and a peak high tide. So if my low tide is at noon, I'm going to fish from 11:30 to 12:30 in that peak period of time. And what I'm going to look for is I'm going to look for rocks adjacent to sand. So all of the jetties in Newport Beach, every single one of those is perfect. I'm going to cast on each side of it and then move on to the next one, make five casts on the side of each one until I find the fish. Any harbor entrance, anywhere like the Talbert Marsh where that comes out, where the Bolsa Chica wetlands comes out into the ocean. All of those transition areas are going to be where you're going to find halibut.
All right. That's good stuff. Well, we haven't talked much about tide either, Bill.
Good call.
High, low tide, what's the best tide?
Well, there's a couple different choices on tides, and here's the way to look at tides. Whenever you have, with the exception of halibut, once again, halibut are going to feed at peak low and peak high tide, so it's not really relevant, just fish at those periods. But all of the other surf fish are going to be, their feeding behavior is going to be predicated by whether the beach that they live at or they're visiting is a dredged beach or an undredged beach. So we know dredged beaches like Pacific Beach in San Diego, like Hermosa, Manhattan, Redondo, Torrance Beach, all of those beaches were dredged in the 1960s in order to put sand, Huntington Beach, in order to put sand there between them and Pacific Coast Highway, or later them and the million-dollar homes that were there. Wherever we have a beach that is dredged, all of the pebbles and the rocks and the natural structure is somewhere between 20 and 60 feet now below the sand. So there's very little structure there. And on a dredged beach, Hermosa, Manhattan, Redondo, Pacific Beach, those are beaches that we fish at a high tide, 2 hours before high tide to 2 hours after high tide. Then on non-dredged beaches, so Carlsbad, down by Ponto, Del Mar, Malibu, beaches like that that have never been to Crystal Cove, that have never been dredged, we'll fish those both at low and high tide. But what we find on those beaches a lot of times is there's a lot more kelp there. So in San Diego County, for example, I will normally fish from an hour after low tide up to high tide, because that way all of the kelp, or most of the kelp, is on the beach and on the sand behind me, not in the water. And remember, each successive wave that comes up the beach, those spotfin croaker, yellowfin croaker, and corvina and perch are surfing those waves up as each successive wave covers over those sand crab beds where they feed. So each time that wave gets closer to you, the fish are getting closer and closer. So San Diego County, almost always an hour after low tide, up to high tide.
Indeed. There you go. Good info. Sam, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Kevin in Temple City is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Kevin? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I can listen to fish talk all day long, man. Let me tell you. First of all, I'm jealous of that trout fishing in Colorado because I'm a fly fisherman also. But and to go back on the waterproof phones and stuff, I use a life-proof case, a waterproof case for my phone, so that way I could just wash it with soap and water afterwards and get all the slime
off.
So that works great. I had two questions about surf fishing, though. Does bead color make a difference at all, or does that not matter? And also, I hear people talk about, you know, fishing evening versus mornings. I usually always fish the morning. I haven't had a chance to surf fish the evening yet. What do you think about that?
Oh, good questions. Now, bead color is important. That's a great question. I fish a clear bead in the summer, so May 1st until October 1st. The bead that I use between my sliding sinker and the swivel, which keeps sand from getting pounded into the sinker and it binding and breaking that light line, so I have a bead there. That bead is clear in the summer because I want it to lay down in the sand and look as natural as possible. Corbina have exceptional eyesight. They're very intelligent. They got big by being smart. And if you have a big orange bead or yellow bead or green bead there, they're going to know it's not natural. They're going to move on from your bait. But when it comes to the winter months, you've been using orange bead. So go to clear in the summer.
I've been using them.
Okay. And then wintertime, you know, right now, but you know, in between periods, so, you know, October 2nd till April 31st or however many days, 30 days in this month, I would use a red or an orange bead, which acts as an attractant for perch in the surf. And then as far as And your second question was concern, which was the morning versus the evening. I was looking at my notes there, and I could talk about this a lot. You never know when the fish are biting. The thing about fishing is that sometimes they're biting in the morning and sometimes they're biting in the evening. And sometimes they bite in the evening and they don't bite in the morning and vice versa. A lot of that can be predicated in the surf or determined by the moon phase. If it's a full moon phase and it's a full moon last night, most likely you're going to have a better bite in the evening because they've been feeding overnight and not as hungry in the morning. If you have a new moon phase where it's very, very dark at night, you're going to have a very good chance of being very good in the morning. The only change that you have there and why I normally will fish in both the early morning and in the evening is because when you have all the little feet on the beach going back and forth and pounding on the sand, even though the fish don't leave, they're not need to be feeding or foraging at that time. So morning and evening. If you go in the morning and it's not good and you have time, go back that evening and try it. You'd be really surprised at how much better it is.
Very good. Good info. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky angler's got a full kit of surf fishing tackle. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag 2-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2, the extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid, hoggity body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads, plus a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and durability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winner of that four-piece surf fishing rod, that killer beautiful lightweight rod, and the awesome surf fishing kit, thanks to Bill, is going to Sam in Irvine. And if you're not the lucky winner like Sam is, you can always go to Bill's website and get all the great deals on all of that great tackle. The exact kit that Bill likes to fish the surf with is available.
Yeah, and thank you, Bill Varney, for joining us here in the blizzard of Colorado there. We sure appreciate fantastic information, and
cool.
You are certainly a wealth of knowledge when it comes. I literally wrote the book about it. So talk about Surfish Tackle and FishTheSurf.com, your websites, and all that you do.
I will. I first have a really big announcement, and my announcement today is that Corey Sandin, your partner, and I have teamed up, and on October 13th through the 20th, should everything go right, we are hosting a trip to Black Bass Lodge in Abrejos, Baja. And so if folks want to find out more information about that, now both Corey and I have spent quite a bit of time down there in Punta Abrejos as teenagers, Corey fishing the bay down there, the estuaries, and me surfing and fishing the beaches there. So we're really familiar with the area. This is a beautiful lodge right on the beach. So folks who want more information about that or would love to see what surf fishing equipment that we use on the beach can go to surffishtackle.com. And then folks who want to read my articles and get more information about surf fishing and see pictures of surf fish and webcams and all that type of stuff, just the learning module, is fishthesurf.com.
All right.
That's great, Bill.
Great job, Bill. Thank you, Bill, for joining us. And, of course, we'll be looking for our Let's Talk Hookup email blast from you coming up this week. And thanks for all the work you do for Let's Talk Hookup and more. And we sure appreciate your time. And thank you out there for all your great support. Thanks to Dave Marcus in the studio there for helping us out. Thanks to Adam Clark for all what he does with our Let's Talk Hookup app and posting everything. And thank you and all the supporters out there for keeping Let's Talk Hookup going. And we'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, Michael Folks from Inside Sport Fish will be here. And then next Sunday, Captain Jack Webster, commercial albacore fishing, and a lot more. We'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and Radio Network.